Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with interesting business leaders, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. These are people who have wonderful stories to share, and they're here to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. In fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. Our topic today is one that is near and dear to my heart. You have no idea, and we're going to go into that. It's how to stop compromising and make all the money you want with Pat Mizhew. Now, Pat is an author, a television personality. She's an internationally acclaimed speaker and an award-winning business coach. She's also a friend of my friend, Larry Winget, which is how I met her. I follow them both around religiously. Her newest book, Business Gets Better When You Get Better, will be released early in 2018. Stop Compromising and Make All the Money You Want, which is a do-it-yourself guide to starting up and starting over, is her most recent book. And she has also co-written Leadership Gurus Speak Out, contributing her wisdom and expertise in the fields of human resources, sales, marketing, and training. She has appeared regularly in media and print publications and has won the 2012, 13, and 15 Stevie Awards, which is a Female Entrepreneur of the Year in Canada. And she's won the 2014 Stevie Award for Women in Business, Female Executive of the Year in Canada. Sorry, I have to mute myself every once in a while so I don't cough all over you. I apologize. Pat has been named as one of the top 100 women entrepreneur experts to follow on Twitter. I follow her. You should too. And she has been nominated for Chatelaine's Magazine Woman of the Year. Now, this is where her story gets really interesting to me. Having transformed her life at age 57 from trash bag, wow, to travel in a private plane around the world, as well as taking her business from zero to close to $1 million in less than 7 years, these are direct results of her expertise in the area of mindset, marketing, and money. Pat, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am truly excited to have you here. Can you tell?
Yeah, well, and I'm just as thrilled. Can you tell?
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you. Because I so appreciate the opportunity and the invitation to share my story with audiences, because I am no special woman. I am no extraordinary human being. I am one woman who made a decision to have an extraordinary life. So I am thrilled to be here.
And, you know, I think you just kind of distilled everything that I want to talk about into that one sentence. You just made that decision. And, you know, everything we do is a decision, right? Whether we're going to brush our teeth that morning, that's a decision. But we have to really identify what the long-term consequences are from the decisions that we make, big and small. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this. So is there anything that I missed in kind of the official bio that you'd like to share with our audience?
No, I think you pretty much covered it, other than my most important role in life is grandmother to three fabulous teenagers who I adore. And, you know, I take the role of grandmother very seriously because I intentionally look to inspire them, to educate them, to encourage them. So that would go top of my list of titles, if you will.
That makes perfect sense. It seems to me, I watch young kids these days, and millennials, and man, oh man, they're getting a bad rap in some ways, and in other ways they kind of deserve it. So it's, I mean, every generation has their,
That's right.
Why did I do that? But
yeah, that's right. You know,
these kids seem to have it a little bit worse, I think, but that's a whole nother topic. So I'm so glad that you're such a huge part of their lives, because guidance is important.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to me because my grandparents died when I was quite young. And so I missed out on that special relationship, and therefore intentionally, again, made a decision, even though they live across the country from me. That's where I give thanks to social media and technology, because I'm only a FaceTime chat away, which is wonderful.
Right, right. Well, good for you. A lot of, you know, a lot of people are just too busy, and they, oh, you know, Christmas is coming, I'll see you then. That doesn't quite cut it.
Tomorrow,
Yeah. We're not guaranteed any tomorrows. So I wanted to ask you, because you talk a lot about goals and potential. Mm-hmm. Where do we start? I mean, and I'll be very frank with you. I'm a high functioning workaholic. I'm a high functioning introvert. I beat myself up every night before I go to bed. What is that all about?
Well, I believe that really comes back to, you know, you and I had chatted earlier about setting goals, reaching potential.
Right.
And I had mentioned that from my experience and my education, having spent 10 years being mentored and coached and being on contract with Lou Tice and the Pacific Institute, that I got to work with the leading research psychologists around the world and learned and studied how the mind works. And there are 7 major barriers. And that which you speak of, the guilt, the beating up, the whole mindset piece, it really comes down to what those research psychologists have identified as being the major barriers to reaching our goal, reaching our full potential. Now, to your listeners, anybody on the line who has no interest in setting goals, and they're happy with status quo, this call is not for you.
No
this
kidding.
This information that I'm going to share is relevant and really critical for people to know and understand that there are 7 major barriers. So the minute you set a goal, I don't care if it's what's for dinner or what's 2018 going to look like or where's my next vacation, there are 7 major barriers. And the first one is habits. And so I can put that, attach that to one of the things you're talking about, Denise, because in my coaching practice, one of the things I insist that my entrepreneurial clients do every day is to end their day, like, first of all, get a supply of index cards, get an inventory of those, every day to write down at the end of the day one thing that you did that you're so happy about or you're so proud of, as opposed to the habit or the practice at the end of the day of saying, I had this long list, I didn't get this done, I didn't get that done, I was distracted, oh my gosh, the day is a waste. So what I teach them to do is to very much get their mindset in alignment with what they have done and what they are proud of, because that is not typical human behavior. And so I want them to learn success habits, and that's one of them. So habits is one of the major barriers. The second one is attitudes. And particularly for women in business, women entrepreneurs, they tend to have an attitude around making a lot of money. I don't. I love making money. I intend to make more money because money touches everything. And I know from experience that when you make money, you have money, then you can make a difference in the world. And so again, what I teach my clients is how to make money, how to manage the money, how to grow the money, invest it, and give it away. And those are 5 important steps, and those are habits as well. So attitudes are another barrier. The third one, and the biggest one, the one that is the maker or breaker of dreams, teams, families, business, is your beliefs, your core beliefs around what's possible for you, for your life, for your business. And for me, growing up in a French, Canadian, Catholic, military home, there were certain beliefs around what was possible for my life. And we're all the same. Everybody has a story with respect to their their childhood and their the way they were nurtured and brought up and so on. And so beliefs is a key one. You've got to really examine your beliefs once you've set a goal, once you've set a dream. And one of the practices I see happening all the time is that individuals will write out a goal or identify a dream and they'll put it way out there, because you read and hear all the time, dream big, go big or go home, stop playing a small game. And so people will put it way out there, but then they look at that goal and they look at that dream and they start saying to themselves, is that bigger than me or am I bigger than it? And typically what I see happening is to start to back up the dream and the goal, because the self-talk is, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, I don't know the how. And so they'll back it up to what they know in the moment is possible. So I teach my clients how to get beyond that, because there are ways, there are techniques of doing that, which I've done. You know, you talk about the fact that I went from trash bag to travel in a private plane 3 times around the world in the last few years. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I created that and I own that. And I talk about it because back when, a few years ago, I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know people did that. It wasn't in my realm, in my world, but it does exist. So beliefs are another potential barrier to you being your best self. The fourth one is expectations. Now, Denise, I'm going back to your comment again about the end of the day and what you expected of yourself, and therefore the habit, the tendency, perhaps the practice of beating yourself up. You get what you expect in life, not what you want. So when you expect to have a bad day, right? When you expect to have a bad day.
If you expect to have a headache, you're going to have a whopper.
Yeah, because we have the power. We have the power. So you've got to get really clear on raising your expectation for yourself, and then again, growing to become bigger than what scares you, bigger than what you want. And then know that the answers exist, that you can know how. So those are the four major ones. Now, in my work as a speaker, as a coach, I've tacked on 3 additional barriers in addition to what the research psychologists have found. And those are ego, emotion, and control. And I know women entrepreneurs in particular can relate to that, because what I see as a challenge for many entrepreneurs, small business owners, is that they do not outsource and delegate. There's ego attached to that. There's certainly the control factor. We're all control freaks.
I started my business. I'm a virtual assistants industry expert. I'm an online business manager. I'm a web developer. I had the hardest time outsourcing anything. It was, I don't even know why. Once I gave up that and started building a team, I was like, what in the heck was I waiting for?
Yeah.
But that whole mindset around controlling everything, it darn near did me in.
Well, and it can with many, and I see it all the time. And it goes back to the core belief that I can do it better. I can do it faster.
Exactly.
Why would I pay somebody else when I know how to do it myself? And that is that's scarcity thinking. That's limited thinking. It's no different, Denise, than for me hiring a housekeeper. I live alone. I travel a lot. I have the happiest housekeeper in the world, because she'll come in and she'll say, well, you haven't even been here. I said, yeah, I know. You're a little dusting. Now, I can do the dusting myself. However, I choose not to at this age and stage in my life. But secondly, to outsource and delegate, which I pay for, I am creating abundance for somebody else in their business. And, you know, the universe knows that and sees that and recognizes that. And money likes to be touched. And money needs to be moved. And I personally would rather go have a latte than ever clean a toilet again in my life. And so, seriously, right? So it comes back to control. And I'm so happy we're doing this today, because I know those of you in the United States are celebrating Thanksgiving next week. How many women are so stressed out right at this point in time, whether it's with their business and their long to-do list and or their home and family and their long to-do list, when seriously, just go buy the turkey dinner. Just go buy it complete in itself and then sit down and enjoy the people that you're with. So, you know, I hear from my clients all the time, oh my gosh, how'd you get so smart? And I got so smart because I made all these mistakes. That's why. And so I did make a decision a number of years ago. I made the decision to leave my 22-year marriage because I had become the queen of compromise in my marriage. And for 22 years, I put the dreams and the wishes of my ex-husband ahead of mine. For 22 years, I listened to my stepchildren, and whatever they wanted, wherever they wanted to go, whatever they wanted to do, I put that ahead of my plans or wishes for any given weekend or holiday. And that act and habit of compromising, that mindset of compromise, really flowed into the way I did business. Because at that point in time, I accepted clients who were less than ideal. I'd work with anybody with a dollar and a pulse. I did not charge what I was worth. I mean, my whole life was just one big reflection of compromise. And it came to a point in time where my soul was dying. And I knew that I was really chipping away at who the real Pat was. And it was only when I had lunch with my best friend, who had breast cancer, who said to me one day, "I'm the one who's dying. Why aren't you living your best life? Why are you continuing to compromise?" That just seriously, I mean, right between the eyes. So
no kidding.
I made a decision. Yeah, I made a decision that day that I needed to make a change. I needed to take responsibility for my finances. I needed to take responsibility for my life and for my happiness. And I made the decision to leave that marriage. So I walked out the door with the equivalent of my life in a trash bag. I did not look back. I have no regrets. And I just moved forward with a dream in my heart and the belief in my mind that I could reinvent myself. I could transform my life. So at that point, at age 57, I moved across the country. No clients, no money, no database, no list. And I started all over because I knew I could. And my message to your audience is you don't need a computer. You don't need a website. You don't need a fancy phone. You need to have the belief in yourself. You need to have the dream that you bring into reality, setting goals, putting action steps to them, holding yourself accountable, get a coach, and then make it happen. Take charge. Implement. Which is what I did immediately. And therefore, I've created this great life. I have a thriving, successful business. I do travel around the world in private plane. I blog for the company as well, which is a ton of fun. And I have a life. Many entrepreneurs don't. So those are the seven barriers that I talk about all the time. Habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations. And then add on ego, emotion, and control. It's not that you need to do away with any of those. You just need to know and understand and recognize that once you set a goal, these are all going to pop up. And when you set a new goal and you evolve and you're succeeding and you're growing, new level, new devil, these will all pop up again. So you need to learn the tools and the techniques to manage those barriers, and that's what I teach. And I'm living proof. I'm the poster child for baby boomers. I'm 66 years old right now, and I'm just ramping up. So it is never too late is my message.
I'm sitting here just kind of in shock. I don't know why, because I've heard you speak before, but this is just so timely for me. You have no idea what a gift you are to me right now.
I'm so glad.
I love what you said about the index cards, because I think I own stock in index cards. I have them everywhere because, you know, with me, it's an index card and a big Sharpie, one thought per card, that's it. And then when I'm done with it, I shred it. I don't tear it up or just throw it in the trash. I want to shred it because that signifies to me that it's truly done. It's, you know, I have this little, I don't know, it just works for me. But we covered ego, but emotion and control. Can you go into a little bit more detail about those?
Well, yes,
you?
And I'd love to talk about emotion for sure, because again, one thing I coach my clients, first of all, the number one success habit for entrepreneurs is to learn to make a decision.
Oh, no kidding.
When many women are presented with opportunities, or they're presented with information on where to grow, how to grow, when to grow, and so on, most people default to one thought: I can't afford it. And women are so guilty of that. It's a default thought: I can't afford it. And what I've taught myself is to shift my thinking, first of all, to listen to opportunities. Secondly, to be thinking about where it is in alignment with my goals and my dreams. To shift my thinking to how can I afford it? Because quite honestly, it's only when you make a decision that you need money. Many people have the cart before the horse. They keep thinking, I can't afford it, so I'm not going to decide. Make a decision first that is in alignment with your goals. Feel the fear and do it anyway, because those individuals who are up-leveling, who are growing, who are stretching, you're going to experience some nausea and nervousness and fear and all that. That's normal. It's normal, but get a grip. Just get a grip and learn the skills. So you make a decision first, then you find the way, then you find the money, then you find the people. And so what happens, and what I coach my clients on, is when there is an opportunity presented, whether it's a speaking opportunity, a podcast interview, a new client opportunity, be sure that you are making the decision based on business and not on emotion. Most women make their business decisions based on emotion. And I've seen this time and time again when it comes to, you've been in the VA industry. I tell my clients all the time, the first thing you need to do when you start a business, hire a VA and get a bookkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes, entrepreneurs do not have the human resources skills. I have an HR background. They do not have the human resources skills to hire properly, to identify exactly what they need, and to lead a team member, let alone a group of people. And what I see over and over again is the lack of ability with respect to communication, to conflict resolution, to mutual goal setting. And so rather than deal with the situation, particularly if there's a conflict or a problem or an issue, it's all emotionally based. And I'll say to them, put the emotion aside and look at the issue and make the decision on that. So emotion plays a big role in business for women, and they've got to learn the skills to put that aside and learn how to make business decisions. So that's where emotion comes into it. The control factor, again, for women, take off the stupid superwoman cape and come back to reality. Yeah, seriously.
Are you sure?
It's a movie.
God darn it.
It's a movie.
Well, shoot, there went my costume.
It's just a movie. And find the ways to make a list and find the ways to outsource and delegate, so that you can keep your focus on having a good life, on enjoying a Thanksgiving dinner with the family where you're not sitting down feeling exhausted and stressed and bitter and overwhelmed. Because I see many entrepreneurs, again, who are mean, tired, and ugly right now. Because they have not mastered those last three in particular, the ego, emotion, and control. And so they are bitter and they are tired. And quite frankly, they're not fun to be around. They're just not
fun. No, they're not my
idea. I would rather be fun to be around.
Yeah, you and me both. You know, one of the things that I have noticed in my lifetime, especially being an entrepreneur, and look, I walked out of my last job, and I've had very few of those in my life because I'm not an ideal person to have in your office. I run with scissors and I don't bring you coffee. I will probably smart mouth you at some point. But I've largely, you know, had my own businesses, but there was a point where I went back to school, got my computer science degree. I was working two jobs, you know, had closed down my business and I was working two jobs and I was at school at night. And I'm telling you, I was exhausted, but there was no question in my mind that when I came out of the other side of this, I was never going to work for someone else again. I rendered myself literally unemployable. And I've never been happier. Was it tough? Oh, God, yes. Do I still have days where I wonder what the heck I'm doing? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the life of an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You're
and
right. We have
life.
To get the emotion out of it and move into our, you know, our very clean left brain and make decisions based on what is best for our business, what is best for the client, what is best for our audience. And, you know, quit being pissy about it, excuse the language, but I see a lot of that. It's like, why are you doing this? Why are you showing up like that?
Mm-hmm. And again, for many people, it's just become routine. It's become a habit. It comes back to habits again. It always comes back to habits. At this point in time, I just had the group call with my coaching clients on Wednesday. And I said to them, okay, we're at the point of time in the year where your homework assignment is to sit down right now, find, mark off a block of time. I'm very big on that calendar and scheduling everything. Mark off a block of time, and I want you to sit down and create three lists. Take a really good look at your business and identify in one column what you need to keep doing, because where things are working, rinse and repeat. In the next column, take a look at what you need to stop doing. So, for example, some of my clients I was learning when they are prospecting, they're running out having coffee meetings all over the place with people. I said, you need to stop doing that. That's a waste of your time. It's a waste of their time. You can become more efficient in the way that you're doing that. So stop with the in-person coffee dates that aren't getting you anywhere. And so you want to have the keep doing, the stop doing, and then the start doing. And the start doing means that you've got to get out of your bubble. You've got to get out of your head, get out of your industry. I, again, give my clients homework assignments. For example, there's one gal in a certain industry, and I say to her, go study another industry. Go to an event in a different industry and take a look at how they're doing things and how can that be transferred to your business. One thing I do frequently, I study the likes of Starbucks, because I'm fascinated, first of all, hearing a lot of entrepreneurs who say, well, they're not going to pay that for my service. They're not going to pay me that much. I said, go stand in line at Starbucks and take a look at that little piece of cake on a stick that they're charging $2 for. And notice also that nobody questions that. The question is, do you want one, two, or three? Not how much.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
I haven't been in a Starbucks in I don't know how long. I think I've been in a Starbucks maybe once or twice in my life, and both of those times were in Seattle. You can't avoid Starbucks.
Yeah, that's
it,
right.
It's not that's my thing. You know, it's just not
my
thing.
No, and I don't mean it to be your thing. What I'm saying to my clients is go in and have a look and pay attention and listen, because nobody in the Starbucks line will ever say, how much for that double mochaccino, frappe, whipped cream, whatever you call it. Pay attention is my point. But also, you know, and I'm going to go down that track a bit of a rabbit trail here. The other piece I say to entrepreneurs is you need to get very clear on who you are in the market. Are you a Starbucks or are you a Dunkin' Donuts? Are you a Nordstrom's or are you a Walmart? Not good or bad, not right or wrong. It comes down to clarity, and I'll talk about that a little more when we get to the free gift I have for your audience. It comes down to clarity, because you can't be all things to all people. You cannot serve everybody. Starbucks marketing and messaging is in a language that appeals to their market. They're not writing their marketing or promoting their products to a Dunkin' Donuts crowd. It doesn't make sense. And so figure out who you are and then be that consistently and be proud of it, own it, whoever you are in the market, but figure it out and then go be that. And then as well, as you continue to evolve and grow and become your best business, your best self, your best professional, go study other industries who are succeeding or disrupting, whatever the case might be, because we all must be evolving on a regular basis, or we'll be eating dust.
Exactly. And I love, Pat, what you're saying about study other industries, because I'm clearly a virtual company. I mean, everything I do is online. I am convinced that God made the internet for me, and I just let y'all use it. It's mine. It's
excellent.
All mine.
Yeah.
But you know, recently, and I wrote about this on my Facebook page, I've been having just kind of a weird, just my life has been disrupted quite a bit recently. But last Saturday, I ran out very early, ran over to my grocery store, was going to pick up a couple sale items for Thanksgiving dinner. I was in front of the store in the fire lane making that turn into the aisles, and my car just stopped. My first instinct was to bite the steering wheel, but that's a big dental visit, so I chose not to do that. You know, I identified the consequences.
Good decision, yeah.
I'm telling you. So I wound up, long story short, I wound up sitting in that parking lot for about 4 hours while we, you know, because my car is a Range Rover, it can't be towed. It had to be flatbedded.
Yeah.
It was flatbedded 4 doors down. I kid you not. But here's the point of my story. And the customer experience at Meineke, of all people. I mean, I've never been to a Meineke. I had just decided 2 weeks ago to get my brakes done there. I hadn't made the appointment yet. Their customer service and the customer experience was absolutely stellar. I mean, not only did they get, you know, they were very busy that day. They took my car in. They took me and my groceries home. I mean, they, you know, taxi service. When they, you know, called me and said, Denise, you're going to need a fuel pump. Your bill is going to be about $1,200 to $1,400. I gulped. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, do what you need to do. But here's the thing. I know I need rear brakes. I have the brakes in my garage, but I don't have a way to get them to you. They came and picked them up. So then they called me yesterday and said, are you sitting down? We've got really good news. I was like, I have to sit for good news. I'm game. It wasn't my fuel pump, Pat. They took a little bit deeper look. I was actually out of gas, which hasn't happened to me since I was in my 20s. But it wasn't my fault because there's some kind of relay system or something. There was something wrong with the gauge because all of them thought I had a quarter tank of gas, as did I. So that wasn't it. So they were able to fix my fuel pump, fix the relay system for my door locks, which had also gone out, do my fuel pump, rear brakes, oil change, and fix that 4 different things. It was $728. Plus, they're going to deliver my car back to me today. I'm going to owe them a case of beer or a Thanksgiving dinner or something. But I'm watching how they are treating their customers, and I am so impressed. And if you think that won't translate into how I treat my customers and clients, I mean, I do my best by them now, but I just got a big lesson in how to make it go even a bit further. Meineke, obviously not my industry, but the customer experience was so stellar that I have learned much from it.
And so how many listeners do you have on this podcast?
Oh, gosh, lots. Thousands every week.
And so how much do you think it cost them to drive you here and there and pick up your things and so on? And the point I'm getting at is what they did to go the extra mile costs very little in relation to how many times you're relaying that story, as opposed to them putting an ad somewhere.
True. Very, very true.
Right?
And
so
I'm mentioning that because
to take
it's
that
so,
lesson. Yeah.
Yes, because it's so important in how to really treat your customers, your consumers, your clients. You know, go that extra step. Do it with a smile. And, you know, don't say, oh, well, you know, we told her we were going to do the fuel pump. We'll just do the fuel pump. They didn't. They could have, and a lot of people would, but they didn't.
And there's a whole case study in that because, again, what I say to my clients is pay attention to those lessons, those day-to-day lessons of how we're treated, and then where it's the great experience you've just had, take that out to the world like you were doing on the podcast right now, but also get onto social media, tag these people on social media, because most retail, I would say, most service industries now have a really great following on social media. Tag them, shout their praises to the world. That's the way the universe works, and word of mouth is still the most powerful marketing method, and social media is free.
Absolutely.
Hello. Absolutely. And my other point and my lesson to people is not only is it never too late, but secondly, stop compromising, but stop complicating everything. My clients are often saying with the steps and the tips I give them, it's like, really, is it that simple? Yes. It is that simple. And that's why I said earlier in my story, when I moved here across the country, I didn't have the website, the laptop, and all the fancy to do. I had nothing but hunger in my belly. I got up and I got out every day to make sure that the people in this city knew who I was, what solution I bring to the market, and I needed to generate money every day. Now, one of the reasons, again, two reasons businesses don't survive or succeed is, first of all, entrepreneurs don't have a plan. Most of them don't have a plan. And secondly, I mean, they're going by gosh and by golly by the seat of their pants. And secondly, they're not hungry enough. And I will tell my clients that. I say, you know what? You're lazy. You've got a partner or a spouse who's bringing home a paycheck, or you're dipping into your savings, or you've had a severance package, or you're using up your 401k, or in Canada, your RRSP plan. I had none of that. I was out and out hungry and wanted to eat that day, and I went out and made it happen. So for those of you who are looking for the secret sauce or the magic button or the easy button, it's as simple as get hungry again. And one of the exercises I give my clients is, for 1 month, you are not to access any of those other funds that typically or normally are available to you. For 1 month, you need to get hungry and make it happen yourself, or you starve. And that is a great exercise, and that's how simple I keep my coaching. It's not complicated. It comes down to, what do you want, how bad do you want it, and what's one thing you're prepared to do today to make it happen? And oftentimes with women, Denise, it comes down to humbling themselves enough to ask for help.
I knew you were going to say
sale,
that.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. That's been one of my problems. You know, in my mind, I am Superwoman. In stilettos, by the way. You know, boots for me. I'm doing it in high heels. But you're right. I mean, and just to give you an example, this kind of goes to the Meineke story. It's on my Facebook page. But, you know, I don't share a lot of my personal anything on social media. I'm an intensely private person. You and I have had this discussion about why you don't find pictures of me online. You never will. But the thing is, my brother is in the hospital in critical condition. He had a lung transplant 5 years ago.
Yeah, sorry.
And all of a sudden, I know, and I saw your prayers. Thank you. So he's having a bad time. My cat was really sick, 2 back-to-back visits. Then my car broke down. I was like, what in the world is going on? And you know what I found, Pat? I had to humble myself is not the right word, but I had to come out of my comfort zone and put this on Facebook and ask for prayers. And I may cry here a bit, but
yeah,
they came in from all over the world, and they keep coming.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It does.
You do have to ask for help. You know, when you need help, you must ask for help wherever it is.
Yeah, yeah. And if not for yourself, for someone else, like for your brother or for your family or what have you. Because here's the thing. We want to keep, everyone talks about balance. How do I get balance? Well, balance starts first with who you are and the way you are in the world. And so with women, again, I always come back to women because I am one and I know them. It comes back to, if I were to say to you, Denise, I need help, wouldn't you just jump at the chance and the opportunity to be of service?
Yes.
Most women would.
Without question.
Right? Most
yes.
women would.
We do.
Well, take a look at how we create balance in life. Why do we deplete ourselves of time, energy, resources, whatever, to help other people? And then we're so selfish that we do not give them the opportunity to reciprocate. That's selfish.
That is brilliant.
That comes back to
ego. Absolutely brilliant.
It comes back to ego. Yeah.
And fear, I think. I think we don't want to let people know that we are vulnerable and we don't really have it all together. We look like we do, but maybe we're walking around in sweats and a ponytail that hasn't been combed in 2 days. It's not me, but, you know, I know people who, in some of my VA groups, I'll say, God, I haven't even brushed my teeth in 2 days. Why not? And, boy, I'll jump all over them.
Well, it's ego. It comes down to ego. It's all about self as opposed to service. Think about that and your audience. Take that in. It's selfish. It's all about me. It's all about me. I don't want to appear this. I don't want to appear that. I'm too strong. I can't show any flaws. That's ego. And that will get in the way of living your best life, and that gets in the way of you being of service with the gifts God has given you to take to the world in your business. So you've got to get past yourself. And that's why I speak on the big stage is about the 7 steps to building your business by getting out of your own way. We've got to get past ourselves. We don't make the sales call and ask for the sale because we don't have the script perfect. Are you freaking kidding me? You're not taking your gift to somebody who's in pain because you haven't figured out the wording? Are you kidding me?
That's procrastination 101.
And procrastination is a poverty mindset.
Do you know I have figured that out because and I had this great interview not too long ago. We were talking about the different types of procrastinators. And I'm one of those procrastinators that is event-driven. You know, give me 3 days in front of it and I'll knock it out of the ballpark. Ask me to work on it a month in front of it, I can't do it. But I always get it done. But perfectionism has always been my big bugaboo. And I'm working hard on that. So I would love for you to talk to us about perfectionism because that will cripple you quicker than anything. And it's part of procrastination, isn't it?
Well, it's part of ego again. I mean, who do you think you are that you're going to be perfect? It is.
I know.
Who do you think you are? And again, you see, it's very interesting, Denise, when people call me and say, oh, I've heard so much about you, I'd like to work with you. And I'm saying, well, let's have a conversation because you might not be ready to work with me.
I do the same thing. I will give people homework. Honest to God, I give people homework.
Well, I'm going to call you on your crap, too. I'm going to call you on your crap. A lot of it, perfectionism doesn't exist. And again, it's your ego. Who do you think you are that you're going to be the perfect one in the world? Like, really, who do you think you
are?
Good point. And again, you are holding back a solution that you have when somebody's in pain. Really? Really? Because you haven't properly edited a document or you haven't perfected your sales script? And that's why I tell my clients, forget that word sales. Be thinking service. I get up in the morning and think, where can I be of service today? Who can I serve today? Now, don't get me wrong. Being in business is about making money and making a profit. And so, yes, you need to learn to ask for the sale and you need to learn to price your product and service in relation to the value you bring. It's not the price they pay, it's the value you bring. But get
and see,
past
I think,
yourself.
Exactly. And I think what you just said is the key to a lot of failing businesses. And again, particularly women, because I coach and mentor virtual assistants and budding web developers. It's both industries that I'm very passionate about. And I'm telling you, they're like, oh, but I can't charge more than $35 an hour. Really? Okay.
I'm going to make a statement here then. I'm going to make a statement that might blow up your podcast, but VAs are the worst.
I know them too.
And they're the worst because they want to hide behind their computer. They expect business to come to them. They charge way less than what they're worth. There's so much work to do in the VA industry. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy because they won't invest in themselves, but they want people to invest in them. Like, hello? That doesn't make any sense.
I know. You're speaking my language. But the thing is, you're so right. I base my prices on what I'm bringing to the table and what I can do for you and what pain points I can solve for you. I'm not going to tell you I'm this much an hour. I'm going to work backwards from your goal and we're going to create the whole thing and that's what you're going to pay for.
Or invest in is my
invest
language.
In. You're right.
This is what you're investing in.
I just wrote that down.
Yeah, I'll pay, what shows up at the gas station, just because you use that example. I'll pay what's on the pump, right? I'll pay for that. But when it comes to solution-based, when it comes to helping people reach their dreams, when it comes to helping individuals be their best self and reach their potential, that's an investment which will pay off over time. And again, where you're not prepared to invest in yourself, don't be expecting anybody out there in the world to come running to you. It's not going to happen. What you project is what you'll attract. And so I have so many ideal clients. I love it because they've got their hand up and they say, look, I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of being one of them. I'm tired of hanging out with them. And I want to be distinct in my industry, in my occupation, in my profession. How do I become distinct? I said, oh, okay, now we're talking. I can help you with that. I can help you with that. And to my credibility, you shared the awards that I've won. I worked hard to accomplish that. And I have put in the long hours. I have put in the blood, sweat, and tears. I have done the work. I invested in a high-level marketing coach when I moved here because although I knew my stuff, I didn't know how to market myself in the new economy. This is when social media was just blowing up, and I didn't know anything about that type of marketing. So I made an investment. I made a decision to hire a high-level marketing coach because I knew that was my pain point. That was the gap. And I knew I wanted to fast-track because I don't want to work this hard forever. I was in my late 50s. Hello. And so I said to that coach, fast-track me. Tell me exactly what to do because you've done it, and I will do the work. I didn't have the money to invest in her, but once I made the decision, I darn well went out and did everything I could. I literally, Denise, I went around the neighborhood on trash day, and I picked up furniture, all kinds of things, or at flea markets, and I sold it with a profit to find the money to pay my coach. I did whatever it took. Most people, let's go back to ego again, let's go back to emotion. Most people are too proud to do what I did, but I was hungry and I was prepared to make it work no matter what. And I don't care what people think. It's what I wanted and needed so that I in turn can get out and teach these entrepreneurs what I know for sure.
And see, that leads me back to a question that I jotted down a bit ago. How do you, and I know we have to get past the mindset, oh, I can't afford that, I can't afford that. You have to afford it. So I was going to ask you, how do you find
the
money?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
I think
it comes back to mindset and language. No, it's a choice. It's a choice. When you think to yourself, I have to do this, that's self-imposed stress. It's like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh,
yeah.
I have to do this. It's
I caught myself. My stomach hurt the minute I said it. I was paying attention to my body language, and I slumped a bit. It's like, because I have a big project coming up right now that I don't have the money for. It's a big project. It's self-funded. Mm-hmm. And you know what I did? I wrote down on my whiteboard that I need this much money in new money, and I wrote, thank you, and it's going to come in. And I know it is, and I'll find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
It's up there on my whiteboard where I can see it.
You know, I do Facebook memes every day with tips for business. And I believe today the meme was about, it is not our place to make assumptions about other people's money or budgets, because people will find the money and spend it on what they want. So there is no have to in life. I'll go back to my own experience. I wanted so bad to get in a place and in a position where I could excel as an entrepreneur, where I could be self-sufficient, where I could achieve my financial goals. I had to rebuild my life, Denise. I walked out of a 22-year marriage.
Yeah,
I
that's
left
scary.
Home. I left investments. I left my retirement fund. I was paying alimony, for crying out loud.
What?
So, yeah, it's a new day.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, I had created a lifestyle to which he had become accustomed. So, again.
So you could do it again for you.
And I know how to do it again for me. But the thing is, I just feel like I had to. I didn't have to. I chose to. I wanted to, and I wanted it so bad. And that's why I always say to people, what specifically do you want? How bad do you want it? And what's one thing you're prepared to do today to make it happen? Because if you're not prepared to make a decision and you're not prepared to take action, then I have no interest in working with you. None. And so going back to money, when we think, yeah, but Pat, you don't understand. I really don't have the money. I said, well, you don't understand how money works. You make a decision first. The money's out there. The money's out there. And again, everybody has money and they'll spend it on what they want to. They will. You got to find the way to connect with that. And you've got to shift the way you think. That's the first part. You've got to shift your thinking. The money is out there. It's waiting for you. It's under your nose.
But you know, that is true. I have found that always to be true. When I make a decision that I need X amount of dollars, do you know it always shows up within a couple of days? Always, without fail.
You shift your thinking.
Every single time.
You change the way you think and you change the way you act. That's the way it works.
Do you have any case studies you can share with us?
Like what, for example?
Well, where somebody, you know, was just convinced that they could not find the money. It just wasn't going to happen. They didn't even have money for Starbucks, whatever. I think Starbucks is just brown water with whipped cream on it. But
yeah,
so you're the case study.
I am the case study. I mean, listen, I'm the best example I can give you. I can give you all kinds of stories of my clients and testimonials, and I'm going to give you the great ones because here's also the thing. There's really only 10% of the population who are going to hear the message, make a decision, and do the work. So even in my coaching community, where I do disqualify people before they come in and are accepted in to coach with us, that I know there's 10% who are going to excel because they really want to. They got the fire in their belly. They're clear and they're prepared to do the work. 60% of them, you know, they're good clients. They show up, they're engaged, and they'll make progress one step at a time. And that's fine. There's no race here. But then there's always that population who just hang out and they're full of excuses and they're the ones I fire. And again, I believe I put that on a Facebook meme as well. And that was today's meme. This is the time of year to go through your client list. Who stays, who goes? I fire clients regularly. You don't show up and do the work, which we had agreed on in the beginning. You're gone, but you'll still pay me according to the contract. But that is the way of the population. Take a look.
Yeah, true. You know, we may be born equal, but our outcomes are not going to be equal. It's up to us.
No. I mean, think about the people who talk about climbing Mount Everest. Why do you think there's a base camp? That's where most people end up staying, at base camp.
That's where they stop, right.
And that's fine. That's fine. I'm not saying, again, it's right or wrong. What I'm saying are the facts, that there are very few who reach the summit. But I will tell you, I am one of those in business, and if the view is beautiful, the air is fresh, and that is the circle of people I choose to be with.
And, you know, absolutely that is true. I mean, what is that old saying, that you are the sum total of the five people you hang around with?
You become something like that. And you earn the sum total of the people you hang around with.
Exactly. And listen,
so when
this
you're hanging around with people who will, they will accept that, I only need to make enough to get by. Well, God bless you and get out of my way.
Right. Yeah, and I learned this a long time ago. I mean, I have been known to just say, look, whatever it is that's going on in your life, you know, I had a friend a long time ago that every day she complained about her husband and her marriage and how crazy he was. Frankly, it was making her crazy. And finally, I just said to her, you know, if you're not going to take the advice that you solicit from me and other people and you're going to just keep complaining about this, I've got to cut you off my Christmas card list. You are wasting my time. And I did.
And that's one of the steps of getting out of your own way, is to eliminate the toxic people, which is what I did too. And people will say to me, oh, well, it's easy for you. But what? I divorced Mr. Negativity. I'm estranged from my negative twin sister. I was estranged from my mother for 10 years because of her negativity. When I made all these changes, it's like there are some people who had to go. We're no longer a fit with where I want to go in creating my best life and being my best self. To be around people like you, who will say, we are a fit. You bring good energy. I'm responsible for the energy I bring to this world. And I'm choosy about those who come into my circle.
So am I. This has been fascinating. I can't tell you how, I've been jotting down notes. I had to move a cat off my pad here to jot down notes. I mean, this is truly fascinating. You did say, though, there's a number one habit of all successful entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Have we covered that yet? Because we've been covering a lot of territory.
We haven't, and it's my most favorite, and even to this day, now that I have been in this new business again for a number of years, the number one habit of successful entrepreneurs, and this is a writer downer, everybody, is to start your day.
I'm doing it.
Start your day with a revenue-generating activity.
You know, Bob Berg told me that. Bob Berg said exactly the same thing to me.
Yep. That means no social media, no email. Email is somebody else's agenda. And the minute you get sucked into that, you're accomplishing everything they want. And by the end of the day, you haven't worked on your own business. And I can tell you, those of you in business, what you are doing today is going to absolutely reflect in your cash flow in 3 months. And that's why I'm all over my clients right now. Because in 3 months, that's when your credit card bills are going to come in from Christmas.
Oh, yeah, New
in
Year.
In 3 months, that is when you've got to look at your sales funnel. Do you have any prospects in the funnel? Do you have new clients coming in? Especially when you go through my assignment of getting rid of some clients right now, the energy-sucking ones. And so the number one success habit is a revenue-generating activity, and I continue to this day between 8 and 9 a.m. So my first habits of the morning, personally, are for self-care. It's meditation, it's exercise, it's a proper breakfast. So self-care first, and then from 8 to 9. Like my days, my weeks, my months are very strategically scheduled. I've done an audio on that because so many people said, well, what do your days look like? The first hour, 8 to 9, is building my business so that my funnel does not run dry. My calendar does not show up empty in a week, in a month, in 3 months. So a revenue-generating activity, people say, well, what does that look like? What that means is, so for example, I have clients in South Africa and England and so on, so you can work in time zones. So from 8 to 9, when it's 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time where I am, I can make phone calls, prospect calls, complimentary strategy calls with people who are in a different time zone. I can sit down and write emails asking for referrals, asking for testimonials, following up on potential speaking opportunities as I get on bigger and bigger stages. I can sit and write thank you notes because I do believe gratitude is a success habit. And so I'll write thank you notes and or birthday cards because I believe everybody's birthday is so important. So that's how I spend my first hour of the day. I don't even look at email or get on social media. Now, people will say, oh, but you're all over Facebook and social media. I said, well, no. I have a presence on social media. But when you see that early in the morning, oh, that's pre-scheduled. That's not me on social media.
Yep.
So I will pop in. Yeah, my team handles it. And so I will go on social media 3 times a day. I'm very disciplined. Morning, noon, and night, 10 minutes. I put a timer on. I get in and do what I need to do. The timer goes off. I'm out. I handle email 3 times a day. I work in threes. I handle email 3 times a day, 9 to 9:30, 1 to 1:30, and 5:30 to 6. My team knows it. My clients know it. And that's when I handle it. Now, when you put a timer on, you get really clear and really good at handling
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can get little online timers. I mean, they're right there on your screen. You don't need to set the stove.
Your timer. Yeah.
Right.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. And have fun with it. Listen, if you're not having fun in your business, get out. If you're not having fun in your life, get out. And again, I've done it. So don't tell me it's too late or too hard.
That is absolutely brilliant. I'm going to be listening to this one over and over again because you've given me so many just kind of been a mentor to me today. So I thank you for that. Okay, one last question. Oh, thank you. We're 41 seconds away from stopping the live stream, but we'll keep recording. The key to go forward, the key to moving forward, your best advice?
Yeah, figure out what you want, make a decision, and go do it today.
That was easy. But you're right. It has to be today. You can't procrastinate.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to go on my list. I'll worry about it tomorrow.
Listen, Denise, three of my friends here are dying of cancer. One is in her fourth year battle of ovarian. Another one has breast cancer for the second time. I'm surrounded by this daily. It's a constant reminder we only have today. So quit messing around, figure it out, and make it happen.
That is stellar advice.
That's it.
And I'm very sorry about your friends.
Thank you.
It is a cycle of life, but it doesn't make it easy.
It is.
Does it?
And listen, the bottom line is, if it's to be, it's up to me. Nobody else, it's up to me.
Absolutely. Well, Pat, thank you so much. It has been a genuine pleasure speaking with you today, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and the advice that you've shared with our audience. And today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. If you're looking for full-on business creation services such as web development, virtual assistants, online business management, social media marketing, and honestly so much more, please visit Your Office on the Web. And be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. And Pat, before we go, you said you had a gift for our audience?
Yeah, thank you, Denise. And thank you for the invitation to share my story, because to have touched, impacted, and influenced one life today, that's really what I live for. I really appreciate that. I did a recording, four recordings. I call it the four C's: clarity, confidence, clients, and cash. So I did a recording around the TED Talks. They're only 18 minutes each. So go to hirepat.com/4, the number four, C as in Charlie, dash gift. So it's hirepat.com/4, the letter C as in Charlie, dash gift, and access those audios. And I'd love to hear from people once they listen to them. There's some really great tips in there too.
I will be listening to those today as I work. And the link is also in the show notes. So you have access to them, and everybody listen. And Pat, again, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.